Good morning. It's a great blessing for me to come to you today and just bring you the very good news of Jesus. We're going to talk about the depths of God's love for us and how we can make use of that in our marriages so that we can have what I would call a godly marriage, a heavenly marriage, a marriage that comes from God. You know, there are many people that have happy marriages. You can find that amongst atheists. You can find that amongst the Hindus, Muslims, where they're happily married. But there's a difference between a marriage that's happy and a marriage where we find that that marriage has been set apart to be a reflection of the union that there is between Christ and the church, where is holy unto that, where is given for that purpose. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. We're talking about Christian marriage. We're talking about a holy marriage. We're talking about a marriage that's been set apart for being a type and a shadow or an image of our union that there is between Christ and the church, where God has come to unify heaven and earth in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Maybe you have been married for many years, but you've never made your marriage available for that. The moment you make your marriage available for that, you will find an immediate structure whereby you can look at marriage, and that structure would be the love of God. It wouldn't be legalism. It wouldn't be law. It would be what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And as we embrace that, we will find heaven let loose in our marriage. Well, glory to God. Let us pray as we get into our service. Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that your hands, your arms embrace us, that you hold us near to you, that you want to be with us, that you've got a strong desire to share your life with us, that you have a strong desire to be one with us, that you have a strong desire to see life, your life, manifest inside us and to just simply be with us. Thank you for that, Lord. You're such a good God. Thank you that you smile over our lives with a smile of the surety that you have brought us a life wherein we are safe forever. Speak powerfully through me today. Amen. Right, we're going to continue to read from Ephesians chapter 5. And as all of you know, we are preaching through Ephesians. And as we are preaching through Ephesians, we are now in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're talking about marriage. Now, when it comes to marriage is a very sensitive topic, and there are many people that has gone through very difficult times when it comes to marriage. There are people that has experienced difficult times when it comes to marriage and got immensely hurt in marriages, wherein there was unfaithfulness or just narcissism, the alcohol abuse, so many things that brings hurt and pain, and a lot of that is derives from not knowing how loved you are. It's very important for the husband to know how loved he is. It's very important for the wife to know how loved she is. I think if a husband and a wife knows how loved they are, that which God has set apart for marriage to truly be will naturally flow. What I mean by that is, if a wife knows how loved she is, submission to a husband would be a natural outflow, as what we would find the fruit of the Spirit would be an outflow when we are walking in the Spirit and not walking after the flesh. We would find love and joy and peace and humbleness and meekness and kindness and faithfulness just naturally flowing from our lives, be you a man or a woman, when it comes to walking in the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus. In the very same way, I believe it's a natural outflow for a wife to be submissive to her husband if she truly knows how secure she is in Jesus Christ. I would then also want to continue to say that it would be a natural outflow for a husband to love his wife and treat his wife in a way wherein the Lord Jesus treats us, the church. You know, when I think of what God has made us to be, And when we think of marriage, we are thinking of God and that He has set marriage aside to be a place where His union with humanity is reflected. If that is the case, it is within the ability, the natural ability of man, to have that manifest when the Spirit of God is in our lives. The same with faith. I've seen so many people argue about faith, saying, well, faith is a work of the law. We cannot say to people that they must believe. In these last 2 weeks, I've been in several conversations with people that believe in universal salvation. And they would argue, well, Bertie, if faith is something that we need to do in order to be saved, we are saved by works. Now, I would argue this way. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace through the faith of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus. And we have believed upon Him. And this belief is then accounted to us for righteousness. God will not tell you to believe anything that He doesn't think you can believe. If God comes and He says unto Abraham, Abraham, you know, I promise you that you will be the father of many nations, and I promise you a piece of land. He doesn't think that He is telling someone, making a promise to someone that doesn't have the ability to believe. God has inherently given unto every human being the ability to believe if He wants to. If He wants to believe it, then they can believe. I'm thinking of the passage, and I'm a little bit off the point here, but I'm thinking of the passage in John chapter 8 where Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. He says, why don't you believe Me? It's because you cannot hear My word. And what He's saying there is basically, you don't want to hear what I'm telling you. That's why you are not believing Me. Jesus came and said unto the Jews that you need Me for life. If you don't believe in Me, who has been given the authority to give you life, you will never have life and you will die in your sins. So what Jesus was saying to them is that they are sinners and that they are busy dying, and the fact that they are the children of Abraham is not enough to save them, that they have to believe upon Jesus. And if they don't believe upon Jesus, that there would simply be no way wherein they would be able to have life. He was saying to them that you are not enough in yourself, that being a descendant of Abraham is not enough. He was saying to them, you cannot be a narcissist because there's not salvation in your beautiful revelation of who you are as a Jewish people. You need Me. Now, they didn't want to hear that. And because they didn't want to hear that they are actually in need of a Savior, they couldn't believe Him, or they wouldn't believe Him because they don't want to hear what He's saying. What Jesus was saying, that you need Me as a Savior. And if you don't want to hear that you need a Savior, then you will not believe. So is it, and was it in the ability of all those Jews that didn't believe in Jesus to believe? Yes, it was within that ability. And in the very same way, I believe it is within the ability of men to love their wives when they know how God loves them. It's something that God has put within our ability. It is within our ability to love our wives as we know the love of God. And it is within the ability of a wife to be submissive to her husband. It is something that would come quite natural in our understanding and in the safety that we will experience when it comes to the revelation of God's love for us. The key would then be simply to know the love of God, to explore the love of God, and to also know, one key thing is, that this is what marriage is. A husband and wife will leave father and mother, and they will cleave to one another, and that would be a type and a shadow of what takes place between Christ and the church. And if we can realize that our marriage, yes, it's got certain purposes as pertaining to procreation and the growing of a family and the advancement and the population of the earth. Yes, it's there for that, but that is born from the blueprint in heaven, which is the word of unification between heaven and earth, where God's love shapes us and forms us into a holy bride that is free from the fear, anxiety, and control of that there is in the world, where we are a beautiful people that's presented to God the Father as a holy person without spot, without wrinkle, holy unto the Lord, one flesh, one unit, in absolute union with the Son. Now, the moment we realize that that is the truth and what God is building in the earth is a unification between heaven and earth, and that He has given marriage as a place where that word is spoken and where it is lived out in the marriage as a type and a shadow of what is truly taking place in heaven. And we make marriage available. We make our marriage available for that. We would find a strong foundation. We would find the logic of the Lord guiding our marriage. I found in many counseling, where we do marital counseling with people, we find that their marriage is not available for that pattern. Their marriage is not available. They've still not made that available and seen the purpose of our marriage is, yes, it is procreation, to have fruit, but that fruit even is a type and a shadow of union with Jesus that brings forth fruit that looks like Jesus in our lives, a type and a shadow, where marriage is a type and a shadow of what's truly taking place, wherein we are united with Christ and then godly fruit is born in our lives. When a marriage is set to be in along those boundaries or along those lines, to be a type and a shadow of what's going on in heaven, and the husband and the wife is truly serious about that and see it as holy, sacramental. This is what it is for. It's set apart for that and only that. And they will find that in that, they'll find joy, fulfillment, a love for one another, a beautiful family that's got great stability. That is what will be born from that. But if we still have our relationship with the Lord and marriage is just something where we're just looking for a partner to share our life with, but it is not the place where we find it being the to a certain form a manifestation or a shadow of what is truly taking place in heaven, where what is taking place between the Father and the Son is being portrayed in that marriage, we will find that there's a lot of death in that marriage, and this easily can lean towards death. And even if it doesn't, it would be a marriage, or it would be two people lovingly living together, but it would still not be what the Bible would call a godly marriage. A godly marriage, in my opinion, and I mean, you can differ from me, but what I would see it is a marriage wherein you, as a husband and wife, have come and said, well, what the union between us is going to be representative of what has happened between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are willingly taking this marriage to be available to show that forth, to be a preaching of the gospel, a light in the world. And that is what Paul is after in Galatians, in Ephesians chapter 5 here. He's teaching people what marriage is, how holy it is, how beautiful it is, and how it is meant to function. He says here, and let me just read quickly to these verses. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto Christ, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let wives be unto their own husband. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." Now, I mean, we can at this point say, well, look at what Paul is saying. We can say, but well, he said the same thing to servants. He says, servants, submit to your master as unto the Lord. And then he would say to the masters, you know, you have a master over you, treat your servants well. And you can say, well, you know, he's just using some form of a type and a shadow, not really something specific here. He goes on, he says, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hate his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Here we're getting into mystery. Here we're getting into things that's higher than most of our pay grades here. This is something deep now. He's getting into more than just a servant and master relationship here. He's getting into something deep. He's getting into something that's deeper than even father and son relationship to a certain degree. I'm talking about an earthly father and his son. He's talking about oneness of flesh, something that's only and unique to marriage. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. I think this is where it becomes very holy, because he's saying that marriage is actually set apart to declare the union, that we are the body of the Christ. I hope you can see that link there. It's very holy. It is set apart for that purpose. And I want to say to you as a Christian that believe in the grace gospel, if you have not come to that revelation, but you're still thinking of, well, I'm just living with my wife, and we are trying to have a good life, and I hope she understands me for who I am, and I understand her for who she is, and we need to kind of find common ground and how to have a good marriage. If that is where you are, I think you and your wife must not just find one another, or maybe you've kind of finding each other, but you must find what marriage is for, what it's truly for. And it would there would be something very holy that takes place. Elena and I mean, when we got married as what most Christians would get married. We get married, well, this is the person whom I love, and I love her, and she's my wife, and we're going to together preach the gospel as husband and wife. But what it truly meant to be a husband and to be a wife wasn't understood in the context of what I am bringing forth here. We said, well, we become one flesh. And the big thing was, you just shouldn't sleep together. And then the other thing is, marriage is you don't ever cheat on one another, and you stick it out. You know, this is it. You're going to push through until death do you part. And then you made some vows when you promised to be good to the other one, and that is it. If we go and look at the Orthodox Church and their preparation for marriage, now I'm not saying everything they do is right, but they do see marriage as the place where the married couple is actually a small pocket of heaven on earth, where the union and that marriage is set apart to show and preach the union that there is between Christ and his church, a unification, a oneness of flesh, where it is 100% holy, set apart by God to be the place where what happened between Christ and the church is shown, where the role of the wife is to be submissive. Well, the way she serves the Lord is in submitting to her husband, as she's now showing forth the message of we, the church, submitting to the rulership of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, who loves us, where she plays the role of husband and wife, all genders, saying, well, if you see me, you see humanity. You see the church. I wouldn't say humanity, I would say the church. You see the church. That is what happens when you see me. I am set apart for that. In my union with my husband, I am a preacher of the gospel. I am a sharer of the message. If you look at me and my wife, you are looking at the message on between the church and the Lord, where we receive and accept love. Isn't that beautiful? It's absolutely beautiful. It just makes her role beautiful. And her role is a type and a shadow even of the husband. It's a type and a shadow of all genders. it's just so, so beautiful. And then the husband, he would say, well, my role and what I play out in this marriage is to be a type and a shadow or a preaching of the word on how Christ laid down his life for his wife so that when the world looks at us, they see, well, this guy's whole life is ordered around giving his life to his wife. Now, we would even say today, well, that's a bit far-fetched. You know, how can you give your life so much to your wife? No, don't you have your own life? Well, if marriage shows Christ, then the husband gives himself for his wife. He gives himself, not part of him, himself. Now, that might seem, well, that sounds like a little bit difficult or that kind of a thing. It is not that difficult. If you know, it's not even difficult at all. If you know how much God loves you as a wife, if you know how much God loves you as a husband, and you know this is what marriage is for, it is a family, a pocket of heaven and on earth, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit, where we find this word of life bringing forth fruit in the earth, multiplying the earth. And you know that is what is for from this deep relationship, knowing the love of God for us. You'll find that it's natural. It's natural, powerful. It will have such a good effect in communities when the church realizes that marriage is not about finding your partner for life whereby you can just have a good life. I'm not saying we can never have a good life. You can have the best life. I think of Ileana and I, we have a strong marriage. And I'm proud of that. Not proud of it in the sense of, look at what I have done. No, I'm proud to say that knowing the love that Jesus has for me and Ileana knowing the love that Jesus has for her, where we've made our marriage available to be God's message on the earth, where I live, where I'm a type and a shadow of what Christ has done in how I live towards her, and she is a type and a shadow of the church submitting unto the Lord, I find the Spirit empowers that. It is beautiful. It's powerful. And you find that you start to love one another to such a degree. I mean, even just speak a little bit private here. Even last night, in a dream, I would just, my subconscious mind is filled with it. I was just saying to Ileana how beautiful she is. Saying, I want to just say, you are beautiful. You are so beautiful. I love you dearly. And I could just see from this true honesty, speaking that even in my dreams. And that is what I do in my life as well. I speak those words to her. Do I sometimes, you know, as a normal person, do we sometimes get a bit frustrated and those kind of things? Definitely. But we find this powerful growth taking place in our relationship as we see the truth of what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5. So, let us talk a bit about this love that God has for us. We spoke about this last week, and I want to continue to talk along those lines. The word love, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So he loved the church and gave himself for it. And then the next verse says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. This is the church now. After the washing of the word. It says here, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word. I like the Afrikaans translation. To sanctify and cleanse it after that she has been washed by the word. And I'll explain to you why that is significant. So, he loved the church. That word love, we have to go and look at it, the word agape. First of all, we need to understand, and we've discussed it several times, that the word love is a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It means it's something that is being done or has been done. It is actions that flows from a heart of compassion. It's actions that flows from a heart to preserve the other. So when we think of Jesus, that he loved the church, and he says, your husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, unless you know that God loves you and that love comes from God, and he that loves knows God, you will know that it is impossible to love your wife the way Christ loves the church, and unless you receive that love. We need to receive that love, and then we will be able to love in a way wherein it resembles what is going on between us and God. So it's something that you need to know. So men, and also women, obviously, because you, if you know how much God loves you, you will find that as you submit to Christ, because you know his love, you'll be able to play that out and see that reflected in your life as a wife. But you need to know the love of God. So what I'm about to say towards men is also towards women, and that is that you need to know God's love for you. You need to know that God's heart breaks open in compassion towards you, and that he gives himself for you in Jesus. That word love means an action, something he does. One of the meanings to love means to welcome. You need to know, and not just cognitively know, but get to a place where you know that God welcomes you, where you feel welcomed by him. He welcomes you. Think of him entertaining you. And when I talk about entertaining you, I'm thinking of a meal, for instance. I mean, when we entertain people at our house, we would set the table, we'll prepare food, we'll clean the place, make sure everything is perfect. I mean, we don't clean it so that they might think good or bad about us and get everything in perfect order, but to bless them, to get a place where they can feel special. I would, if we invite people to come eat, I ask, mow the lawn, make everything perfect for them. Why? Because we want to entertain them. We want them to feel welcomed. We want them to feel special. Why would we do that? Not from the selfish reason of trying to parade ourselves, but from the perspective of showing them how welcome they are and how we love them. It's an act of love. We don't have to say we love you. By what we do, we are showing love to them, and not just showing love to them, we are loving them. In the very same way, a husband and a wife, as individuals, you need to know how welcome you are. God welcomes you. He entertains you. He entertains you. Do you know how he entertains you? He offers you a meal where he says, I give you my body and my life. What that means is, if you think of the blood and the body, you're thinking of partaking of the life and inside a physical body that can never die. He says, I welcome you to my eternal life, and I'm entertaining you and what I've prepared for you, not to show how wonderful I am, but to show how much I love you, and not just to show how much I love you. What I do in loving you is I offer you an undying body. It would be equivalent to a husband and a wife getting married, and the husband possesses eternal life. He can never die. And now he looks at the wife, which is a mortal who can die, and he now marries her. And, you know, some men, I'm just saying this jokingly now, they might say, well, if I'm immortal and I marry a wife and she's mortal, well, let's just keep it that way. Because if this doesn't work out, I don't want to be stuck with her forever. But that is what God does in Jesus. No, he is immortal. And when he prepares a bride for himself from the dust of the earth, he then invites her to the wedding and offers at the table immortality, because he forever wants her. There is no way out. Now, if you are thinking of marriage and you are saying, and you've prepared yourself in a proper way, I think people didn't know what marriage is and therefore don't prepare themselves properly for what marriage is. A husband in proper Christian preparation for marriage is not defined in, worldly ways of knowing one another, but it is between you and God. You can prepare yourself for marriage long before you get married by saying, I'm preparing me for my marriage by knowing how much I'm loved. If a young person watches this, see, there are not many young people, if I look at watching my messages, let's put the highest amount on my YouTube channel is between 50 and 65. And then secondly, it's between 25 and 35. So for people that are in that age gap that think they are looking for someone to get married, this is how you prepare yourself. You go and look at how God loves you, wherein you then say, I know this love and I am being prepared and being shaped by that love, and I am making myself available to be a type and a shadow of that towards my future wife, where our marriage would from day one be something that is set apart wherein unto showing the gospel, where I'll play the role in the spreading of the gospel as the husband, and she will play the role of the church. And so we will spread the gospel. And this is what this marriage is for. So I want to know how I'm welcomed, how I'm entertained, how I've been, my body is holy unto eternal life, which has been offered unto me, and where I would give myself in keeping her safe. That is how you prepare yourself for that. And you would look for a wife that obviously has prepared herself for this very same thing. Now, you might say, but Batty, that sounds a little bit difficult. You know, how are we going to get that right? Well, we're teaching the doctrine of the church here. We're teaching what the Apostle Paul has been teaching to the church in Ephesus. And for people that would then get married, this is the way. And this is the way that is therefore empowered by heaven. It's got the blessing of heaven on it. This is the way wherein you will find a stable, strong marriage that is godly and heavenly, which is a pocket of heaven on earth, where the gospel is administered to and through in this world. Right, let's continue to talk about love here. It says love is, to be loved is to welcome someone, to entertain someone, to be fond of. This is one of the meanings for the word love. To be fond of someone. For a husband and a wife to prepare themselves for marriage, you need to get to a place where you know and experience in your emotions that God is fond of you. And as a husband and a wife knows this, or in preparation of marriage, you know how fond God is of you, you would also then know that He is fond of the world. And that He is, because He's fond of the world and He wants to save them, that you would know you are now set up in this marriage to be a message of that. It also means to be well-disposed towards somebody, to have a good attitude towards someone. So if you love someone, is you've got a good attitude towards him. You want to preserve his life. You want to be there for them. You know the needs that they have, and that the moment they have a need, you throw yourself at that. That is how Christ treats the church. We need to understand that Christian marriage, there are many other marriages and they've got their ways on how you need to treat one another, and that is born from laws and rules. Allah said, or Muhammad said, this is how you must treat your wife and so forth. When we look at Christianity, we don't find a law. We find an action that has taken place wherein God came and gave Himself, brought forth the Christ, and gave the Christ, an immortal, undying human, which He then gave Himself in that He offered eternal life in that man, serving humanity. And that is then a source of life from where that pattern is reproduced inside the marriage. Milena and I, we've talked about this before. We've spoken about this. And then we've come to a place where we've said, well, we first got married and we just got married. And yes, we have Christian marriage where we love one another and we're going to love one another. And then we got into a deeper place where we realized that our marriage is now a type and a shadow of what happened between heaven and earth. And as I do something for her, and I lay down my life for her, I provide for her. I mean, just when I pay money over into her account, or when someone would say something about her and I would say to her, no, this is not, don't worry what they said. This is God's word about you. I immediately think of myself. This is what the Christ said to me. This is what the Christ says to her. This is, and I give myself to it. And in order to say about her what Christ says about her, I spend my time to hear what Christ says about his church, how he feels, what is his word of life, how does his word of life remove death. And from there, I'm at a place where I know how to live this. I know the script. And please don't get offended if I use this language, but I know the script. I know what Christ says about her. I know what Christ says about me. And that has come through years of hearing God's love towards me. And that is how you have a healthy marriage. To be fond of. You know, as I find when I know how fond Christ is of me, and I know that this fondness, this love that he has towards me and how he lived it towards me is lived out in my marriage towards my wife, I find the natural power of the Spirit, or the supernatural power of the Spirit, I want to call it like that, brings forth this, I see her beauty. I see what's beautiful in her and find that I am fond of her, and that fondness grows. I'm more fond of her now than what I was in the beginning when I just got married. It's absolutely amazing what God can do as we take and embrace his kingdom's way. It means to treat with compassion. To treat with compassion, one of the meanings of love. So what do we have? We have welcoming, we've got entertaining, we've got to be fond of, we've got to be well disposed towards that person. We've got compassion, treating a person with compassion. And also then the last one here, to have a strong desire to be with that person. So as men, you have to know, and it should be written into the fabric of your feelings that God welcomes you, for he does. See how he has set a table where he offers you eternal life. See how fond he is of you. See how his disposition towards you is one of acceptance, where he wants to treat you and treats you well. See his heart of compassion towards you. When you see all of that and you now know this is true towards you, but you also know that as you receive this towards you as a person, you are receiving and being taught the living script, if you want to understand. It is not just a script as what it's in the play, but it's the living script forming and shaping you as a husband. And the very same way with a wife, as you are at the place where you are hearing, he welcomes me, he entertains me, he's fond of me, he is well disposed towards me, he treats me with compassion, and he's got a strong desire to be with me. You are receiving the living word, which is the living script in being submissive to your husband, because now that truth that you live towards the Christ is going to be exercised towards your husband, and he is going to show that love towards you in everyday life, where it takes its place in everyday life. Glory to God. You never find Jesus bringing fear to the church. He's always bringing a beautiful peace to the church. I found, I just want to bring this in, something practical here. Let's take the politics. I am not what I'm not going to do is take the bad that's in this world and communicate that all the time in my marriage. You know what this one has done. You know what that one has done. Oh, our country is this. Oh, the deep state. Oh, that. Or, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. Have I been tempted to do that before? Yes. Have I spoken along those lines before? Yes. But I quickly could see what it does in my wife. She also start to think along those lines, and anxiety can come to her mind. She can quickly be taken up. You know they've done this. They've done that. No. Our marriage is not to be the place where we find what happens in the world. As men, yes, we want to keep our wives safe. We want to protect them. But we are not. You're not protecting your wife by knowing the evil in the world. You're protecting your wife by knowing the Lord. And then from knowing the Lord, you will know what is evil. And what would be evil is to think of the world system as something that can harm you, even if you are a Christian and experiencing the love of God. You can't. It can't. If you want your wife, and I'm speaking to men now, if you want your wife to live a stable life, study the gospel, know the gospel, bring the word of the gospel to your wife. You don't have to be a theologian. Just know the simple gospel of God's love and the stability and the protection that there is. And then in everyday life, let your words be flooded with that message. That is all. It's like Ileana and I, we're going to Zambia, then there are certain things that I've got responsibility for, that I get right, certain things that she gets right. If she feels things are too much for her or whatever, then I say to her, listen, lovey, your life is not born from getting all of this right. Even if we forget things, our life is not determined by what we forgot or what we remembered. Christ can even give us life there. What am I doing? I'm washing her from a pressure to perform and bring forth a life in her, the life of Christ, by speaking the words of Christ. Or if she thinks of, if I come to her and I say to her, you know, we've got this thing with Zambia and we're getting that done, and there's a lot of things that must take place there, and we've also got the ministry here, and we've got many other things, and man, it is overwhelming and all of that. Then she comes to me and say to me, Bertie, this ministry is just simply an outflow of the love of God that we have for people. We don't have to get everything right, because salvation, those people's salvation, is not determined on you getting everything right. This is simply a place where we live the gospel of God's love. And she speaks the very same word to me, and that word washes me. She would go, and if we take it from the perspective of being submissive to the love that I've shown her, she would submit to the love that I've shown her, in that I've brought the gospel of grace to her. And as she stands in submission to that word, when I am out of line as pertaining to not believing the word that I've spoken about the gospel, she will then stand in submission to that and say, my husband, you have been sharing the message of his love, that God is always a provider. Let us not fear. And in that way, she submits to that word, and we live in that union. And we find the beauty of the gospel being shown in our marriage, and we have a powerful, beautiful marriage. It says here, I'm going to end off with this, going to be another 4 or 5 minutes, Ephesians 5:26. So, as in summary, we as married couples on an individual basis have to know how welcoming and how he welcomes us, how he entertains us, how he's fond of us, how he is well positioned, his disposition towards us, the way he lives towards us is not one of anger and bitterness, but one that is good, how he treats us with compassion and has got a strong desire to be with us, and how he lives like that towards us. As we know that, we realize, and this is also what the scripture says in the next verse, that his actions of love, in that he gave his son to conquer death, he washes us by his word of the resurrection. What does he wash us from? He washes us from a fearful expectation of death. Now, when we know that he's washed us from death, in that Jesus was raised from the dead, we find that after we heard that word, we find that he sanctifies our lives with a life that is not bound by fear and the things that revolves around fear. We are being separated and made holy through the word that we have hope. The Bible puts it this way: you has this hope in him, the hope of the resurrection, 1 John 3, sanctifies himself. We are washed by that word. So let's say I was an anxious person that always lives anxiously and in fear and depression on account of my anxiety and so forth. And when I then hear the word that in the end everything is going to be okay, my life is safe in the hands of God, what happens? That word that washed me from the fear of death also then brings forth holy actions inside me, because I am now being set free from anxiety. And so we are presented by Jesus' action in conquering death. We are presented to God as a bride that is spotless. Now, what he's saying here is, when we are presented to God, his Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his bride, and he presents us to the Father and he shows his bride, we will be without spot or wrinkle. What that means is that his word of life is such a powerful word that it will cleanse us from the systems of the world and the anxiety that there is, to the point that we would stand spotless before the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Now, we as husbands, what do? We love our wives, and from the hope of the resurrection, we speak and give words. We think of how we treat them from that perspective, knowing what we've made our marriage available unto, and what God, why God has put this marriage there. Wives hear those words, and whenever they hear a word from the husband that pertains to the Lord, they submit to that word. Isn't it beautiful? We find then Jesus also brings an inner renewal to us that we could never do by ourselves. So, I think if you take what I've shared in Jesus removing burdens from us, bringing a relief from sin through bringing the hope, we find that we can, as husbands and wives, make ourselves available and say, our marriage is available for what I've just ministered here, for heaven on earth. And if you as a husband, and I want to speak especially to husbands, because the emphasis here is on the husband. You as a husband, flood your wife with a gospel message, man. Don't flood your wife's mind with all the wrong that there is in the world and all the problems that there are in the world. Bring her this good news that she can feel secure. And even if there's difficulty in the world, when you can look at the difficulty, it's like Elena and I, when we look at things are going good in South Africa at the moment, but there was a time when things were not well. We would look at that and we would say, we're not South African citizens. We are citizens of heaven. And although we live here, our provision is from God. He's the one that cares for us. He's the one that provides for us and has conquered the death in this world. We see death. We see it in front of our eyes. We see the corruption, but we don't live from this world. I would speak words like that. Then we would talk about certain things, but we would always say, this is not God's final word over us. And our minds would always be directed by the Holy Spirit. And as the job of the husband is then, as the Spirit directs you, to direct your wife's mind and for you to have your mind directed towards the gospel. Amen and amen. A last verse, I'm not going to explain it, we're just going to read it. It says here, for no man ever hated, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his own wife loves himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And the last verse here, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she has reverence for her husband. Amen and amen. Well, next Sunday we're going to talk about children and servants and so forth as we are getting into Galatians chapter 6, and the Sunday after that, I think we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. Thank you so much. Thank you for everybody that's watching this. If you've loved this message, if you like this message, give a big thumbs up there on YouTube. It helps the algorithm. And I also wanted to thank everybody that is just allowing me to serve you with the good news, everybody that supports our ministry. Thank you for all of that. And we will talk again next Sunday. God bless.